love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
And now the story of the wealthy Hollywood business who lost original ideas and the two podcasters who had no choice but to review them together. It's Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
Yo, Nicole.
Yo, Orlando.
Yo, Nicole.
Hey, what's up?
Nicole.
Hey.
Yo, Nicole.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you guys. Is that good? Is that good? I think that was good.
Hey, Rolando.
What's up?
When you're walking down the street and you see a little ghost, what you gonna do about Ghostbusters?
I actually don't know that part of the song. Nikki P, you're my boy, Ro.
Eddie Z and Revivals. Charlie's Angels, come on.
Question.
The power three will remake thee.
The power three will revive thee.
Rolando, please come. I'm excited to do the Remakes, Reboots, Revivals episode with you, discovering the Dark Crystal.
Ugh.
You excited, Rolando?
I'm very excited.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals, an original podcast.
About unoriginality.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, 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 everyone. Can you believe it? Here we are, 100 episodes. Some of you naysayers out there didn't think we'd make it to 20 episodes, and here we are, 100 episodes strong, thriving, some might say, even during a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Persistence pays off, 100 episodes in. This is about the 100th time we've done this, which seems crazy because I can remember it doing the first one ever like it was yesterday.
And my God, those early recordings are... I don't even want to listen back to them ever because...
Oh, but you are going to.
Yeah. But yeah, who knew? Did you think we'd get here 100 episodes? You didn't think we'd kill each other by now?
I'd hoped we did. And there's no animosity. You know, we're still good.
That's good, right?
So that's because great, yeah.
That's like the thing about radio. Maybe podcasting too, but like co-hosts hate each other.
Mm, yeah.
You know, like apparently Anthony and Opie like despise each other.
Oh, well. Yeah. That's just too much ego for that, so.
I guess so, yeah.
We have the right amount of ego here.
Yeah, I have it all.
Yeah.
Eddie, did you think we'd make it to 100 episodes?
It went by quickly.
Right?
Wow, just like.
Yeah, 2.5 years.
We're here.
We're queer also.
We are. Yes. Get used to it if you're not by now. 100 episodes. You know, but before we get into like having some fun with our 100th episode, we actually want to have a little bit fun at the beginning. We decided that we're going to do a giveaway.
Yes, we're giving away mugs, specially designed by yours truly. I'm so excited to share these designs, although they're not that crazy simple. They're very simple designs, but I'm very excited that we have mugs to give away in
general.
We have merchandise,
episodes.
Finally.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, 100 episodes is the time to have merchandise. But we are excited to share these mugs. You will see them on our Instagram posts.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that they look lovely because they are lovely.
They are lovely.
I think they're microwave safe. I think they're dishwasher safe, too. These are the real deal, people. Real deal mugs. And there are two designs. And they are going to be available this week only in this giveaway. And then the following week, we'll give you guys instructions on how you can purchase some if you want to purchase some. And I hope you do,
yes,
because they will help the podcast. But for the first two that will go out to the public, those will be available only via giveaways. Nicole, what are the instructions for these giveaways?
Well, so if you follow us on Instagram, the instructions first is 1, follow us on Instagram. We're going to be making a post, an official post for the giveaway. And the directions are as follows. 1, comment on the image, tag a friend, and write giveaway in it, and then you will be eligible. The winner is going to be picked as random, but we have to, the catch is that you have to be following us, you know, because we want to give it to a fan, not just some rando.
And the second way we're going to be giving away the mugs, one of the mugs, is by having you guys use our new phone number, our hotline. We want you to leave voicemails, and we want to hear from you, our fans. So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to give you guys our phone number right now, and this, we're also going to create an Instagram post on this and social media post, so you'll have the number. But you're going to call this number, 862-248-2326. Leave your name and email, and then leave us a nice message or a bad message. I don't care.
I don't care.
I prefer nice messages, but you know what? I want to hear from you, whatever you guys have to say. I don't know. Wish us a happy 100th. You know, maybe you're going to tell us what your favorite episode was. Anything you guys want to share. And then we will be picking out one at random.
Share your contact information.
Right. And the contact info. So you're going to make sure in your voicemail you leave your name and email address. Those are going to be the most important things. I'll have your phone number too, technically, from the voicemail, but leave us your name and email address for sure. Use our number, call us, leave a voicemail. And I'm excited to unveil this phone number so that way we can, like, you know, play some messages from you guys on the show. If you guys want to come at us because of something we said that you don't agree with, leave a voicemail. That's what it's there for. It's our way of getting you guys to participate, because who knows, maybe one day we'll do a live show and you guys can actually, like, call in or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're playing around. We want to be able to interact with you guys. Or more importantly, I guess I want you guys to interact with us.
For sure.
So, yeah. But I think you're going to love these mugs. I love them. They're so cute. I actually haven't used them because I love them so much, right? It's like looking at them.
They're museum pieces.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, without any further ado, let's get into it. Our 100th episode. This all started back in June of 2018.
Despite the fact that we didn't go live until September of 2018. So,
well, specifically June 12th, I believe it was, around there. Rolando and I, who had been, you know, kicking around this idea of a podcast, and the idea was more so Rolando's of doing the remake, reboot, and revivals market, because, you know, there was room for us there, and as film people, we wanted it. So
I came up with the name first, and it wasn't remakes, reboots, revivals. The original name that I wanted was Nowstalgia, but then it turns out someone does a podcast and Nowstalgia is just apparently just like pop news. And I was just like, what a waste. So sorry guys, if you're listening, I'm just saying, it's just like, come on, Nowstalgia. Yeah. Perfect for this, would have been a perfect name for this podcast. So then I just came up with remakes. I think we as a team, like, came up with remakes, reboots, and revivals. And I think R's, the alliteration just worked.
Yeah, I love alliterations for sure. And despite the fact that we're both film school kids, you know, we really didn't know how to go about it at first.
I would agree.
Our first recording was actually done with a lav, which is like those little mics that you hook to yourself. But it was only one that we put on top of the laptop between the two of us.
Yep.
And we were like,
it'll capture noise.
We'll see how it sounds, you know. And we did it in Rolando's dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just us. I don't even think anybody else, like, I think Eddie was there, but I don't think anybody else was actually a part of the recording.
I don't think so either. I think Eddie was there kind of keeping an ear to us, like, if... like, he was like the layman, right? He was supposed to be like because he was the avid podcast listener out of the two of us, right? I listened to podcasts, but it was mostly talk entertainment. I think you were gravitating towards like murderino stuff.
Right? I listen to film and true crime podcasts primarily.
Yeah, so we needed someone who can, like, at least tell us. It's just like, will people understand what we're talking about?
Yeah.
I think he cringed a lot during that first recording. Eddie,
it's
do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I cringe a lot because I also didn't think, because we were butting heads a lot those first few recordings.
A little bit. Well, so because we came from such different, like, standpoints, or at least viewpoints, I was a little bit more critical, and you were definitely more of the fanboy.
I was. And I was much more pop culture. Like, it's just like, let pop culture be pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are so many years, like, what, 2.5 years later, I'm just like, you know what? Fuck Hollywood.
Yeah. I can't do it either way. I mean, well, so we should say that the first episode we chose to tackle was Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
Welcome to Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals, an original podcast about unoriginality. And today we'll be discussing Disney's Beauty and the Beast, both the animated version and the 2017 remake. I'm Rolando, and today I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Rolando.
Nicole, Beauty and the Beast, what can you tell me about it? What do you know?
Like, in terms of the Beauty and the Beast story or the movies specifically?
Let's,
like, what's the origin?
So what do we know about the actual story, Nicole?
Okay, so Beauty and the Beast is a novel by Jean-Marie Le Prince de Beaumont.
Wow.
I know, what a name.
So it was always French.
Yeah, it was always French. Yeah, it's based on a French short story. Okay. It's very popular, I guess. I don't know if it's as popular as, like, say, a Hans Christian Andersen story is or the Grimm's Brothers, but it's, like, now at least it's pretty prolific and it's up there. I do know that in the 1950s, like, I'm big on history and, like, film history, and I do know that in around the time that they made Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty that Walt Disney was interested in making a musical version of Beauty and the Beast. After he died and Disney kind of went through this bizarre era. I mean, like, we can't even really think about the films that came out between the 70s and the 80s because they weren't that great.
The Black Cauldron was one of them.
Well, like, in terms of, like, the best Disney movies that everyone's always trying to remake and revive or put on Broadway or just, like, call to. Like, they don't talk about those films like The Rescuers or Oliver and Company or Robin Hood. They're good movies, people don't care for them as much as they care for, like, the Disney Renaissance films, right?
Right.
So, The Little Mermaid, 1989, and then right after that, 2 years later, 1991, Beauty and the Beast, 1992, Aladdin, and 1994, The Lion King. And these were, like, the films that people were obsessed with, and they put Disney back on the map as a powerhouse. And it really did save Disney, in my opinion.
Most certainly. I mean, when you think back about it, it's a prolific film, if you think about it, because it was the first animated film to be nominated for an Oscar for Best Picture. Groundbreaking. Yeah. I think it did take away the Oscar for Best Original Song, Beauty and the Beast, right?
Yeah.
And who could forget that Celine Dion version?
And Peebo Bryson.
Oh my god, that's right. Peebo Bryson, that's right. It was a duet. What's it called?
And we enjoyed at least our discussion enough that when we decided to continue record actual episodes that we would release, we redid Beauty and the Beast.
Correct. That is true. Yes.
And we kind of actually influenced each other. I don't know if you remember that. But from the first discussion we had, when we did the actual recording, we kind of saw things from each other's viewpoint a little better.
Yeah, interesting how that worked out too, which I wasn't expecting, but that's how it goes.
I do think we've influenced each other a little more than we've realized over
years. I would agree wholeheartedly on that one, for sure. Even the way I analyze films, like, colloquially with friends now, right, who aren't, like, film buffs, has changed how I talk about film because of your viewpoints. And I think you usually think the most... you're definitely much more accurate than me, I feel, most of the time. But, you know, I tend to be more, I don't know, hyper-focused on, like, random shit. I feel like that's how I tackle film criticisms.
Yeah, I'm just such a history buff, especially, and, like, my preference is for everything before I was born. You know, that's my big joke.
Right.
So I always come from that point of view, and I don't know. I'm a little bit. I think I started off more jaded than I've become. Oddly enough, like, I think I've warmed up a little bit.
To
some of these, just because some of them have been such pleasant surprises.
Correct. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think the pleasant ones that we have covered have been truly pleasant. And I will also say this is, like, usually LGBTQ slanted somehow, some way. And
yes.
And those are the ones that just, like, resonate most, I think, with us sure.
But our first ever released episode that was released mid-September of 2018, after we got our shit together, was Lost in Space. Do you remember that episode?
I do remember Lost in Space. And I think I pitched it as the episode.
Yes, you did. I didn't even know there was a Netflix Lost in Space.
And that's because I had watched it, I think, over the summer at that point, and I enjoyed it. And I happened to, if you listen to the episode, you remember I was also a fan of the Lost in Space 90s movie.
With Matt LeBlanc. Late 90s,
early 2000s. Yeah, that movie. Watching it again is just like, oh, this is a hot mess of a movie.
It's still
enjoyable. I think it's like just a popcorn flick.
Yeah, it is.
And then I had a chance to watch, like, the first episode and just, like, realized, oh shit, like, this is good. So yeah, and that's, I think, ultimately, I feel like that did set the tone of me like kind of being way more open-minded with old stuff.
Yes, for sure. I think so too. I actually remember that your text message was Danger Will Robinson. Is it still that?
It is not anymore. I think that's now for my voicemails.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think a lot of people got annoyed with like Danger Will Robinson.
You had that for a long time.
It was.
You were like, that's a recent change.
That's actually funny. That's just recent. That was 2.5 years ago. So that's pretty cute. I'm actually looking at our list of episodes, and I can remember when you started opening up to some of the older films like you didn't think you would.
Wait, can I guess as to what I think the moment was?
Okay, sure, go.
I would say probably A Star Is Born.
Yes. Okay, so
because I actually ended up liking more so, I actually like the original one over the,
yes,
over mm-hmm. the one that's iconic, you know?
Well, I would say the first episode I would give that absolute credit to would be The Murder on the Orient Express, because the 1974 film is definitely superior to 2017. But The Star Is Born is actually, I do want to point that out as one of my favorite episodes we've done. It's only our 7th episode.
Mm.
Because we covered 4 different films, and they're so different. The 1937 with Janet Gaynor, the 54 with Miss Judy Garland, 76 with Barb Streisand, and then the 2018 with Lady Gaga. And that was like one of the first times I had been in a theater, because I wasn't going to the theater. I hated movies. And then starting this podcast, I had to start going to the theater again.
Right, right.
I hated new movies, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it actually got my ass to a theater, and then you watched the old Judy Garland one, and one of my favorite moments that's ever happened on the show is that you didn't know that it was Bette Midler who sang Wind Beneath My Wings. You thought it was Barbra Streisand.
I remember this, yes. I was so, you said like, you know who Barbra Streisand is, right? I'm like, yeah, she sang Wind Beneath My Wings. Everyone,
oh my God.
Both you and Eddie gave me like the look I've never seen before from anyone of just pure disgust.
definitely a highlight moment for me, but yeah, mm-hmm. It definitely was where I was, I mean, not so much the Judy Garland episode, but the movie, but you did like the 1937 one.
I did. I thought it was good storytelling, right? Like, it was a simple, fast story. It was very fast paced. Mm-hmm. I think if you've listened long enough, like, you know, you, most people probably know that I'm not the biggest fan of musicals in general.
Yes, yes.
So that's why the Judy Garland one just never rubbed me the right way.
Well, you know, I think you also really, it's hard to watch that film, just to talk about this really, really quickly and fill in some gaps that might have been left from the recording 2 years ago, but you really have to look at that film as kind of like how important it was for the career of Judy Garland.
Mm-hmm.
She was completely fired at the age of 27 because MGM created this monster and she was addicted to pills and she was really, really paranoid and kind of going insane.
Oh.
And that was their fault, right? But they weren't viewing it like that. So she needed this big major comeback.
Were they viewing it like she's just a woman?
Yeah, no, she's an ungrateful bitch. That's literally right. What their standpoint was.
Sounds about right. That was that was probably a clinical term back then, too.
Yeah, seriously. And audiences loved Judy Garland, and audiences were very upset about this kind of public humiliation that she went through. So for her to come back 4 years later, audiences, you know, TV wasn't really a thing then. It was the early 50s. Radio, too. You know, like, she wasn't really present on that. So she came back after not being seen for 4 years. Of course you're going to go big. Of course you're going to make, like, a 2.5 hour epic film is, like, showing off the talent that is Judy Garland, which is just... And it's also so different. You know, movies aren't made like that anymore. So it's... I have to defend it for that.
I also think that was the episode where I learned that Judy Garland was Liza Minnelli's mother.
Really?
If I remember, or maybe it was like while we were watching the movie, we're just like, God, she looks like Liza Minnelli. And Eddie was just like, that's her mother.
How are you gay?
I know.
We questioned it back then too.
I know. It's just like, where's your gay card? I want to see it.
But yeah, that's definitely a favorite memory, early memory.
No, that one, that also is like one of my favorite episodes to this day, because I think on some level they all hold up, and I think also because, like, for me, what I liked about that one was, like, you also got to see a contemporary movie and see that, like, it's not all shit.
Yeah.
Which I think is my stance. Like, I don't believe that, like, Hollywood... I complain about Hollywood a lot now on the podcast, but, like, I do believe there's still occasionally the good gems out there, and they're just hard to come by. Specifically, when we're talking about remakes or reboots, they're like almost impossible to find. However, mm-hmm. we have, I think some properties have struck gold, and specifically sure. properties that try to like do TV instead of just trying to cram everything into like an hour and a half, 2 hour movie.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Actually, it took me a while to warm up. Like, I remember people were like, oh, is this podcast just going to be you like always preferring the original?
Right.
But, you know, nobody says that anymore.
Right.
Because things have changed so much. And mm-hmm. we definitely, I at least have warmed up a little bit more. I don't remember when that shift began for me, where I actually started actually being more open to some of the newer properties.
That's a great question. I'm quickly looking through our episodes and stuff to see if maybe, I don't know. Halloween was also another one where we were both kind of, maybe yeah. it was like a moment. Maybe Boy Meets, so maybe okay. it might have been early on. Maybe it might have been earlier than we realized, because Girl Meets World was another one where you were kind of.
I defended it a lot more than I did Boy Meets uh-huh. World, and I still will. I will defend that show to its haters who haven't even watched a second of it.
Which is a shame, because it is a good show.
Yeah, but you know, Disney Channel show, they're gonna. First thing they're going to do is they're going to compare it unfavorably to Boy Meets World, which is unfair because it's its own show. It and then is. It's like, oh, it's about teenage girls. Who gives a shit about that? And it's like, oh, wow, you're just an asshole and kind of sexist.
Well, I was just looking through the list and I just realized it's a movie where I started becoming jaded as hell. Like, as
I think I know what it was.
What?
Well, it was, I mean, definitely The Lion King.
Yep, that's the episode I was thinking about. I think that was like the moment where I was just like, oh, they can't even do this one right. Like, there's just no hope.
Yep, beginning with Dumbo. And I think even when we covered The Twilight Zone, because I'm looking at some of these in a row, right? We did Dumbo. We did The Twilight Zone. We did The Hustle, which was a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and Bedtime Story. And mm-hmm. all of these were very unfavorable yeah. remakes or reboots. So there was just like Men in Black. There was just kind of like, you know, crap after crap after crap.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Like there were dark days on this podcast where where if you had to judge us based off of the state of Hollywood, it was just like, oh, it's not good, guys.
Yeah.
It's not mm-hmm. good. But like I said, the occasional gem out there. Would it be The Dark Crystal? Would you say maybe that's when things took a turn for the better for you?
Yeah, The Dark Crystal was probably, throughout the 100 episodes we've done, the biggest surprises for me. Mm-hmm. We've often spoke about how we've sometimes went into things not really wanting to watch it, and sometimes not really still wanting to watch it and turning it off, like most recently with Selena. And then sometimes mm-hmm. you watch it and you're like, oh, wow, this is way better than I ever thought it would be. And this is actually one of the best things I've watched in a while.
Right.
100% was what The Dark Crystal was. Devastated that we're not going to get any more. But I'm happy that there was a perfect enough first season.
Although I wonder if maybe Netflix canceled it because Disney Plus is planning on picking it up.
Oh, God, that's a long shot.
Why? That's a long shot. Doesn't Disney own Jim Henson's soul?
What a terrible way to put it. But
and as a result, like his children and his property, his intellectual property.
I mean, they own the Muppets. I don't know if they own everything, Jim Henson.
Good point.
But yeah, so that was definitely one of my absolute favorite. Actually, I really enjoyed that episode.
That was a good episode. I think soon after that, we also did Watchmen, which was, I think Watchmen... I was interviewed on another podcast before when I was doing press for Game Changers in Medicine, which is the other podcast I show run, right?
Yeah.
And when he asked me, he's like, oh, what's like one, like if you had to recommend one, what is one show, like one remake that would be like, it's so good. I'm just like, oh, Watchmen. Watchmen is easily at the time. And I think it still holds up as like kind of being my favorite revival of a property, because Watchmen was just so good. I mean, so timely. I mean, that one's, I mean, a year and a half, a year later, right? And it's still mm-hmm. like, yep.
Yeah. Nothing has changed. I still would recommend people to watch Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And like, again, it's only one season, but I think it should be only one season. They absolutely told the story they had to.
Yep.
And what a surprise.
That's another one where, I mean, that was a hard sell for me to you, because.
It was. Well, because I thought it was just going to be another version of Alan Moore's mm-hmm. Watchmen. And it was just such a unique, you know, it's not, we technically can't classify it as a remake, reboot, or a revival, other than that it completely revived the property of Watchmen and made this brand new thing inspired by it within its world.
Yeah, we played a little. I played a little goose on the definition on that one, but I was like, no, we have to cover it. It's I hear it's so good, and I was not disappointed.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. It was definitely. Definitely. Thank you, because I really enjoyed it.
Yes, yes. And then some of our more modern day, I think, like, more contemporary, like, most recent surprises have been, like, Babysitter's Club for me is something that comes to mind for sure.
Absolutely.
Dracula, that kind of stuff. But we just had the award show, so if you listened, you know how we felt about those. I was, like, 2 episodes ago at this point, right?
Yes.
So you guys know, like, in terms of, like, what came out, what we covered in the last year during the pandemic, there were some goodies out there. And
there were.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite episodes is when we covered One Day at a Time.
Oh, yeah.
That was also one of the first times where I saw myself just really gravitating to the new one. Again, it's a television show, so it's hard because I can't really think of many films that I felt more passionately about the new one than the old one. But
and that's a good one also because I think both shows, because it's a TV show to TV show, right? And that one, the original one, is also good,
yes,
right?
The original is good.
I think, yeah, it is. And but the reason I think for us the new One Day at a Time hits so close to home, though, is because it's a Hispanic family front and center. And there's just something about that you just don't really get too often.
Mm-hmm.
And they really cover, like, LGBTQ. And the LGBTQ element, for sure. Yeah, so that's, like, that is a wonderful show. That was actually, that was your recommendation, Eddie.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, my mom was trying to get me to watch that before the podcast, and I wasn't doing it. Because also the sitcom... trope was kind of throwing me off,
right?
But you know, and I think a lot of people, that's why they don't watch it. And that's, you know, we named that episode Millennials Don't Watch Sitcoms, because it, a lot of people my age and a little younger didn't even know this show was existing. They kind of just brushed it off as something that their parents would watch. And it's a shame, because this show, I think, is so perfect for millennials to watch.
I just want to stand on record and say that I had a problem with that title, because we watch sitcoms all the time. We don't watch the multi-camera sitcom, which is what we're talking about, which is just like the staged background.
Yeah,
and like
I think when
track.
You think of the term sitcom, you think that kind of thing, you know?
I don't. Because like
in front of
I think
audience.
Of now,
I don't
think
of
now,
The Office as a sitcom. I think of it as a television comedy. It's kind of different.
It's most certainly not. It's a situational comedy.
I guess it's the style, too. I think people associate the style of the sitcom as being in front of a live audience.
We're going to get into this again, I see.
We are going to get into it again.
As someone who studied television terminology.
I care more about film. But Eddie, do you have any favorite moments from the past 2.5 years and past 100 episodes that you want to share with everyone?
I remember how surprised the remake of Perry Mason was.
Oh, that's a good one.
I really enjoyed that. That was one of the ones that I dreaded doing. I was like, oh man, this is going to hurt.
Yeah,
I was not interested. I mean, I used to vaguely watch in the background the original ones when my family would watch, or someone from the family would pick it up, and I was like, oh my god, this is so boring. So but now like I remember how I was like so into it, like that was a great surprise how great that show was.
Yeah, and that was again showing you, like, I think that's why that's the main takeaway I think I've taken in the past like 100 episodes. It's just like, if it's a TV show, I'm not saying all TV shows, because I think we've had our snoozes in the past year.
We have.
I'm thinking of Black Narcissus and Selena, unfortunately. But TV, like, when given in capable hands, they can do such great storytelling nowadays that, like, I understand now why how the Hollywood film industry is afraid of TV and streaming. Let's just be real. It's streaming.
Yeah.
And it's because, like, you give creators the liberty of telling longer stories and really fleshing out characters in ways that just a movie can't.
Yeah, it's almost unfair, you know, because there's just so much more that you can work with and develop and tell in a television show that a movie can't.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why movies are dying.
Yeah,
unfortunately. But
so I have a question for you, Nicole.
Yeah, sure.
So 100 episodes, we talked about some of our favorite episodes, which correlate with some of our favorite properties that we've seen. But like, if you had to like narrow down to like your top 2 or 3, or even just 1, least favorite remake or reboot or revival that you have seen in the last 100 episodes.
Least favorite.
Yeah, least favorite. Like something that you just absolutely will never touch again. Don't ever want to see. Thank you. Next.
All right. Goodbye. I could do this. Absolutely would never watch The Men in Black again.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah. It was really terrible.
I think that's fair.
I'm looking at the list and this is actually hard. There's some of these I would like, even though I didn't like them, I would maybe watch again.
Really? All right.
Probably won't ever watch The New Lady and the Tramp again.
That's fair.
And I most certainly will not recommend The New Selena to anyone. I have been ranting about that since we recorded that episode.
So have I, and I think, and we sat through a lot. I think we admitted we just didn't finish it because it's just like so bad.
It was very disappointing.
It's just not good, and it's just
so
like,
not needed.
And it's just, it made me love. Maybe when I was rewatching Selena, I'm just like, oh my god, this is, it's saccharine. It really is saccharine.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's so good. It is so good. It still holds up, except for J-Lo's accent. I can't get over it. Like when she's talking to Chris after he partied up in the hotel room, and she's just like, "You think this is you? I know you." But she's in her J-Lo accent.
And her,
obviously.
Yes. The Bronx coming out.
It's, yeah.
Oh, wait. I would also add Dr. Doolittle, because that was terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hated that one so much.
Eddie chimed in. He
Dr. Doolittle, period. I was never a fan of any of the movies.
Right.
Yeah. None of them were really that enjoyable. And that was one where even the original musical was a bit much for me because I felt the music was very uninspired and the film was a bit too long. It was kind of like contrived as this, you know, like, well, musicals are what's breaking the bank these days, so let's come up with our own. And it was just so uninspired and not
And it
good.
Was nominated for an Oscar.
Surprisingly, it actually, but like we discussed in that episode, that's what fucking money can do, all right? They paid their way into getting nominated for Best Picture.
That's fair.
Bullshit nomination. The Oscars are bullshit.
Indeed. Let me think I think mine would probably be Lion King for sure. And I've complained about this since even earlier in this episode just now. The Lion King for sure is one of my least favorite film like remakes. And that's because it was just so, it had no heart. It just had no heart whatsoever. And I was it infuriated me to a level that like even Dumbo was bad. But like Dumbo, I can forgive, right? Because at least they did something different with it.
Yeah.
Right. Where, I'm not crazy about Tim Burton's aesthetics nowadays, but he tried, and I'm not going to fault him for it. The Lion King just, like, was just absolute garbage, and I will stand by that to this day. That's a movie that I will never watch again, have no desire to watch again, will never watch again. I think that's the one that really just, like, infuriates me the most. I'm trying to think. I'm just sort of looking back also just to see if there's anything I may have. And Lady and the Tramp, I think, also fits in that category, though.
Yeah,
same
Lady
thing.
And the
it was
Tramp
just
was not
no,
needed, uninspired.
Yeah. It had no heart. No, it just the worst. Outside of that, I think those are basically the two that I would put like in the we'll never watch again.
For sure.
Category. For me, I don't think everything else I can like forgive some on some level. But that one just absolutely not. Never.
Yeah, for me too. So I have a question. After, you know, we're looking kind of like back being nostalgic on all these our own properties. And we've said we've grown quite a lot and we've influenced each other and our opinions have changed and stuff. So after 100 episodes, you know, what do you take away from doing this podcast for 2.5 years? What have you kind of like learned about yourself?
Oh, well, for me, what I've learned about myself would probably be that I am open-minded to trying out genres that are from decades I had no intention of visiting ever again. Like, we're talking like the 30s, 40s, even 50s, right? Like, decades in that you get taught a lot in film school, right? And as a result, I just, like, never be... There's a thing that I have, right? When something is being forced to me, like, I have to learn this. You have to know this. Yeah. It makes me not want to... It makes me not want to, like, look it up more, right? because I feel like, well, they're teaching it to me, so I don't care. And, you know, that's clearly a folly on my beliefs here, on my way of living, because I think some of these, you know, older properties.
100%. From A Star Is Born to Rebecca to Black Narcissus.
Oh, Rebecca. Yeah, that's a great one. Oh, Black Narcissus. I mean, that's, yeah, that was like, I had to see that in film school and I love it. I'm trying to think of like other ones.
Well, I mean, even like when we discussed The Twilight Zone, you know, how many Twilight different, perfect, like, yeah, revivals have there been, and none of them can compare to the original 1960s
absolutely, one. Absolutely true. And I, the first episode, our very, very first episode, right, which was Lost in Space. I mean, that pilot for that TV show was just so... It's good sci-fi, and it was wonderful, and it was shot beautifully for a TV show, right? Like, I found myself enamored.
And I'm going to kick it back to two earlier episodes where I kind of want to see how you remember these. But remember when we did our Valentine's Day episode and we did Love Affair and Affair to Remember and Love Affair?
I remember those,
I think your favorite was the 30s one.
I think it was. And I think it was because the other two were awful.
It's astounding how, you know, the 1930s one can be the most tight and the most well written and the one that gets you the most.
It was also good. It was a faster paced one. They talked faster, right? I guess they had the transatlantic accents going on.
Yes.
And but I think the one I had the most problem I had was the 90s one, because again, it just lacked soul.
It did, yeah.
Right. And who was the famous actress that gave her last performance there?
Catherine Hepburn.
Catherine Hepburn, right? And it's just like, well, that's a shame.
Yeah. Could have been better, yeah. I think the 50s one would have been great if they just cut out those musical numbers.
I don't remember the 50s one that well now. The musical numbers.
Yeah.
It's forgotten.
Yeah,
the 30s one is good. The 30s one is good because it's also just, and it's available for free everywhere. So this Valentine's Day, you wanna woo someone, watch Love Affair.
Yes, that's a good one, yeah. Actually, last year we did a compilation episode for Valentine's Day where we talked about love and movies in honor of your marriage.
In honor of our marriage, which I can't believe it'll be a year in like a month at this point.
Yeah, crazy,
oh boy,
right?
So
much has changed.
The world has changed.
The world's everything has changed. It's so weird to look at like our pictures and stuff from the wedding because I'm like, this is feels like ages ago.
I know.
It's weird. Anyway, for me, I think that after 2.5 years of doing this, starting at a place where I wasn't really going to the movies and I was upset because, you know, and I still think this, to me, the art form that I love is dead, right? So why would I go out and watch it when I can just catch up with all the things in the past that I've missed? I still very much feel that way. But, you know, watching, being a little bit more open to television and looking at these films in a critical way, I've realized that even in a postmodern world where, you know, we feel like everything's been done, so what do we do now but retell things?
Right.
There's the beauty in retelling. That itself is kind of an art form. How do you retell this story? How do you take this property that everybody knows, or at least we hope they know, and make it your own, put a new spin on it, add new elements to it? And those properties have been the most exciting to see instead of the straight up remakes or the reboots and whatever. And especially when it's just inspired. For me,
you messed up our title. Remakes, reboots, or whatever.
Yeah. There's a third. I can't think of it. But that to me is what art is, you know? Like, I don't think art is anything other than something that was inspired and came from a place of just what 100% creativity. You know, even the biggest B movie can be art in my eyes because of the way that it was shot. And I think that that's what some of these properties that we've done, some of the ones that I mentioned, like The Dark Crystal and Watchmen and whatnot, were done for a reason and because they had something to say and they really, really loved these properties, that especially The Dark Crystal. There's so much love in that new piece. And that was just also really wonderful to see.
Yeah.
So
I think one other key takeaway I've taken away in the last 100 episodes, and this is actually mostly from the Chucky episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that is that sometimes, this is a critique on Hollywood, their over-reliance on trying to piggyback off of a property's popularity.
Yes.
As a crutch is a detriment to the industry, because Child's Play, the new one, is actually a surprisingly interesting movie. and it could have been, it would have been better if it didn't have, if it didn't try to like force Chucky, like Child's Play, as like the, as like what they were selling me on. I think it would have worked great as just a toy that's AI that goes crazy. And it doesn't have to, it could have references to Chucky, like an homage, but it didn't have to be a Child's Play. And watching some of these movies more and more, I'm starting to feel that way, right? I think Borat falls on that for me, right? Like, I don't need the Borat shtick. Yeah. Sacha Baron Cohen could have created a brand new character to explore.
He practically did. His daughter.
You're right. Yeah, he basically did. But he didn't need to rely on Borat and stuff. And God, Borat is like more horrific, I guess, now after the insurrection, right?
Yeah.
Like, you think about those guys that he, those people that he was hanging out with at the towards the end of the movie. Like, it's just like, he was warning us.
I think I recognize from one of them. Yeah,
they might have been there.
Practically. Yeah. It's, yeah. That's its own thing. And yeah. We won't go there. But
Eddie, did you learn anything in the last 100 episodes? Did you learn like how offensive I could be?
Oh yeah, there's that. I learned also to be quick when I know you're gonna be offensive, to try to be like a little censorship here.
Okay, all right.
No. hold back just a touch. I learned that Nicole has an interesting way of titling episodes.
Too. Oh yeah.
So I actually want to take this opportunity to do a little trivia.
Yay, let's do it. I'm gonna win this.
Well, you did most of the titles, right?
Most of them, yes, I've done.
Yeah, all right. So
I feel like most of the time there's stuff I've said.
So when you know that, so this is for the person who didn't do the title.
Okay, all right, there we go.
So.
No, you can ask us both because I think it's fair.
I'll be quiet if I know it. I'll see if Rolando can see it.
Okay, first one. I guess they're going to be hoes, ?
Oh, Babysitter's Club.
That wasn't me, so I didn't know that.
That
was Rolando.
That's a line that I said during the episode, right? What I was saying is just like, is this how I assumed that it was going to be pitched Netflix? But I was afraid they were going to remake, they were going to take Babysitter's Club, so I was afraid it's just like, oh, I guess that's how they're going to pitch it, right? It's just like, they're just going to be hoes. Like, that's how I assumed Netflix was going to tackle Babysitter's Club. I was so happy they did not go that route.
So happy they didn't go that route.
It was such a good show. Thank you, Eddie. You make me sound so sexist.
The next one. They bang, okay? ?
I know that one.
Yeah, I know that one too.
It's Mary Poppins. No, that's the Addams Family.
Yeah, it's the Addams Family.
The Mary Poppins one has bang in it, but
it's a bang history.
A bang history, yeah, that's right.
Because we were talking about her lovers, like the two chimney sweeps
showing up, yeah.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda.
This one's an easy one. I'll give you this one. Mm. Good, but it's funny. Muppets Be Dying.
Oh yeah, the Dark Crystal. Yep.
That was that's a funny title. Who said that word? Was it you or me?
That sounds like you.
Oh my god.
Next one. Hope is a dangerous thing.
Oh my god. But I think is that Pet Sematary?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which that was my favorite episode.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
oh,
it's well, I mean, yeah. Episode. Yeah.
Okay, I can see why.
That's cute.
Fairy dusting.
Oh, I know this one.
La Caja Falls Birdcage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Fairy dusting. So if you don't remember, fairy dusting is the act of straightening your house, like literally straight, like taking away anything that might make you gay, make you seem gay.
Uh-huh.
So putting everything away before like your family or visitors come over.
Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. I got one for you, Eddie. Let's see if you can see what this one is. Warped mind of a 13-year-old.
I actually know that one.
Warped mind of a 13-year-old. Oh my god, I forgot. I mean, I don't remember. I don't know.
That is Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cause I think it was I who was like, I want to see more. I wished that the whole remake, right, or the reboot of Are You Afraid of the Dark was from the warped mind of that 13-year-old, but it ended up being the truth, and that was kind of the bummer of it. Spoiler. Sorry.
One more.
One more.
Where there's a penis, There's a problem. Shit. I think I remember now. Do you know, Nicole?
I do know, because it's
okay. Yeah, she does. She probably did this. She did this one.
That was shit. Was it Ocean's 13?
Yes, it was the Ocean's. Yeah.
I said that line. Yes, I remember this. Where there's a penis, there's a problem. That was the lesson that I learned in... Oh, wait, that's just a lesson from all of them.
I just can't help but say this one. Boxy boobies.
Yeah, Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My gosh, so many properties we've done. So much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, seriously.
Who would have thought?
Well, geez. I mean, so much. We've done so much to talk about. But, you know, I guess I just want to look forward to the future. Hopefully we could do 100 more episodes.
Society, basically the media, Hollywood has given us a lot more.
That's true. There's no stopping
to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. So many things in competition for what we're going to do next week for our 101st.
Oh, all the time. Like, I just want to point out, Walker premieres soon.
What?
Walker, Texas Ranger.
When?
It's on the CW. It'll premiere, I think it comes out next week or this week. I say let's let it live a little bit. Maybe DVR some of these episodes and then like watch it, because I actually kind of do want to revisit the original Walker Texas Ranger.
I'm excited about watching anything Chuck Norris. So
it's
I'm with
so
it.
Bad, but we need to. Hopefully, we can find a guest star on that one.
That'd be great. Yeah, maybe.
Speaking
we can
about
get
guest
Chuck
stars,
Norris.
Who has been our guest stars? These
we've had a few.
We've had a few great guest stars actually. Yeah, one of my favorite actually was for our Unsolved Mysteries episode.
Yes.
We got someone who I've been listening to a podcast of hers since like 2016 and stuff. You know, we said earlier that I knew true crime. She was one of them. And we got her and she was a blast. Chari Worrell from Crime Lines was on our Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes.
And definitely, actually, that might be in my top five favorite episodes ever.
That was a good episode. Me and her really got into that nice conversation about the role that media plays when it comes to like mystery solving. So I did enjoy that episode. One of my two favorite episodes are the Batman and Joker episodes, where we had the brothers from the Brotherhood of Batman.
One of the best
I think
we've done.
They were
two-parter
episode. Great. Yep, those were a two-parter. And I think they brought it. It's interesting talking to, because I'm a big Batman fanboy, but they take it to another level, right? They really love and have a worship for this the comics. I'm more of a passive fan in that sense. I would be way more fair weather than they are. And, you know, introducing you also, like getting your take on the Batman mythos also was interesting for both, especially the Joker, right? Because I think the Joker you have way more to talk about when you're talking about Joker.
Yes, 100%. Oh, and I also want to say one last one. We did a episode for Christmas where we talked about Christmas covers, and our guest on that was Nicole Lippi. And that's actually been one of my favorite moments in this podcast history, because Nicole kind of owned Rolando in this moment, if you remember.
I don't. What moment?
Where Rolando hates Christmas music, and he was sharing that. And Nicole said something to the effect of, I feel like if you hate Christmas music, then you just assume that everyone's happy and has something to celebrate every Christmas. And I remember your face when she said that. And like, she was not attacking you by any means, but she made a very good point, and I think I thought that was very well said of her, actually. Thought that was a really great point, and I do love that episode, and that's actually one of our highest listened episodes of all time.
It is. But I'll give a shout out to some of the other guests that we've had.
We had Lincoln from Far Corner Studios.
Yes, Lincoln. He was
for twice. Yeah, we had him twice. Yes. Watchmen and for the Star Trek Picard episode.
Correct.
Yes.
I also want to Greg Stevens of Pop Arena. He helped us out with the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. That's also one of our more higher listened to episodes. Also,
yes, absolutely.
It shows you what a YouTube fan base can do.
We also had Mike Josick on from a podcast named Scooby-Doo to discuss our Scooby-Doo episode, which that was actually a lot of fun. And I didn't think I was going to like Scooby-Doo as much as I did.
Right. I remember that one. He was also really, really informative.
Yes, he was.
Like, he really knew his Scooby-Doo shit.
Yes. And we also, one of our first guests we did with the music episode was Ryan Leansis from Schwizz.
Oh my God, yes, Ryan. How could I forget? He was the band from my wedding. He was also one of my groomsmen, but he was the music for our wedding.
Yes. And my sister guest starred on an episode, and I want to give her a shout out.
That's there. Right. That was the episode. I think me and Eddie were supposed to be on our honeymoon, right?
Yes.
That was supposed to, but then Corona happened.
Yeah. No, wait. So. No, you guys were just. You were away doing something because that was
we
before.
Might have, but
that was way before COVID.
I think it was, wasn't it? This was this is what the Harry Potter one.
Yeah, it was October of 2019. If you recall what you were.
Oh,
doing
okay.
Then.
No, then I. Oh, maybe we just. Oh no, that was my bachelor party.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah, yes, yes. It was wedding related, but the fun part of the wedding.
Yep. All right. So, yeah, so thank you to all the guests. We hope to have on way more guests.
Yeah, that's something I want for sure in the future. Like,
definitely.
More guests and stuff. I want, like, TikTokers. I want, like, YouTubers. I want, like, chefs, right? What can we talk about with the chef? I don't know. Alton Brown.
Anything. Yeah, please.
Good
that
eats.
Would be great. Guy Fieri. Come on.
No, Guy Fieri hasn't remade his show because it's so long living.
But he's the other famous, you know, alliteration, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Triple D.
Yes, it's true. Oh my God, we could get him on the show. We could talk about, like, how did we come up with
get
our titles?
Get Triple D on Triple R, yeah.
If we could get the host from Nailed It.
Nikki Byer. I wish we could
cute.
Get Nikki Byer.
She'd be like, Eddie, Rolando, I just love this podcast.
That was a good Nikki Byer.
That was actually pretty good, yeah.
I practice.
It shows.
It's just because Nail It now is like Nail It Mexico,
they
Nail
do.
It
it's
France.
Spun off so much.
Yeah,
it's just like all these.
Seriously.
The show that could.
And now there's the one that it has just, it's like a similar format. I guess that's the way, because it's probably the same studio that they use, but now it's the Leftovers.
Yeah, it's
like
leftover
turn
games.
Leftovers into
yes,
like a gourmet cuisine.
Cooking shows are huge now. It's crazy.
It's so cheap to make.
Yeah.
It's
I guess
so cheap, you know? So, yeah.
But yeah, so just looking forward to the next 100. And I think 2021 is going to be a good year. You know, last year was kind of tough. We didn't have some episodes out. But I'm looking forward to consistency and for us to be on top of these new materials. And, yeah, just to be back at it like we were before all this shit went down.
I'm looking forward to like trying out. I know we were just talking about like random like genres and stuff, but it'd be great to like kind of explore other things that have been remade that maybe don't like most people don't think about per se. Like I remember like with Ryan, we did covers. Mm-hmm. We did that random episode game shows and stuff.
Yes,
I think,
yes, and that was
I
a
think
lot of
there
fun.
Are yeah, I think there are opportunities that will present itself that we can for explore.
Sure.
For other things that could be that might consider remix. I know that Friends is gonna have a reunion. That's an R that maybe we can cover.
You just want to do Friends.
I would want to do Friends.
Yeah,
we can have
yeah,
you. We can have
yeah,
your sister as a guest because she is also a Friends lover. So.
Sex in the City is also going to be made soon.
Sex
Why?
In the City.
Who
yeah.
fucking knows?
It's a revival.
Yeah, without
oh
Samantha.
God.
Without Samantha, who's the
it's
best
It's almost
character?
Like petty because everybody
you,
knows about that drama.
Right, but would you rather they recast Samantha or do you think they're going to kill her off?
I'd rather they not do it.
Well, I honestly would rather like Jennifer Tilly play Samantha. Like you just bring in Jennifer Tilly.
That would
know.
Be the ultimate burn. Oh my God, that's actually kind of brilliant. That's like, fuck you, Kim Cattrall. We don't need you. We have Jennifer Tilly.
Who's Stifler's mom?
Ooh, Jennifer
yeah,
Coolidge.
She
Jennifer
good.
Coolidge.
Yes.
She could play. She
yes.
could also play
she
Samantha.
Could, I could.
Ooh,
what's
I really
she
want
on?
A hot dog, real bad.
Wait, but wait a minute. What's she on?
Was she?
I think she was a supporting character at one point. Or guest.
She must have been a guest star because
yeah, at some point.
For that show.
I'm going to. I actually.
I gotta double check. Yeah,
I've only seen a little bit of Sex and the City, so I'm actually really looking forward to this one. That would be good to have a guest on.
That would be good. Yeah, Sex and the City podcast.
Sure.
God, so much to look forward to. There's so much happening and. And we're just going to keep
Gossip Girl? How do you
on.
Feel about Gossip Girl?
I am so not looking forward to that.
I cannot wait because especially Bridgerton got my lips wet basically because...
Ah, yes.
Because Bridgerton is basically Gossip
what?
Girl with Jane
wait
Austen.
A minute. But these are all TV shows. Any movies?
The movie theater is dead, Nicole.
But they're all coming to HBO, right? Like Dune?
Dune is coming to HBO Max, yes. Dune is coming to HBO Max, for example. I think that'll be towards the end of the year. I'm sure there's a few things and stuff. I mean, the truth is like this 2021
oh, yeah,
might present
are.
What? Oh, there's yeah, no, more stuff.
I see a list. So I'll tell you say, about like, it when we
maybe 2021 presents itself as like the year that maybe we'll cover. Like, you guys could submit ideas. Like, if it's an old property, if you guys really want us to check it out, we'll try
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds great, actually.
The point is, we'll be watching a lot of TV, it looks like. But thank God we're all home because of quarantine, so.
Yeah, thank God, for sure.
Silver linings, people, right?
Yeah. Let's look at our positives. But yeah, we will see you guys next week for our 101st episode. I think we will be discussing the Animaniacs.
Spoiler alert, wow. Spoiler alert, we're going to remake the show, guys. So stand, get ready for that. That's what we have in store for the 101st episode. It's not even going to be me and Nicole anymore, right? It's going to be like two
it's gonna be
like,
two other people
who are going to pretend they're
doing
us.
Their best versions of us, yes. That'd be great, actually.
I would love to have an episode like that where we're just like on the back end, like kind of, you know, like telling them what to do.
<That'd be> cool.
it'd be like an art project.
That would actually be really cool.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But guys, thank you so much for giving us 100 episodes. We could not be here without our listeners. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, we're giving away those two mugs. So be sure to peep out our Instagram with have instructions.
Yes. And be sure to call.
Be sure to call. I'm going to give you guys that number one more time. Call us. Our number is 862-248-2326. Leave us a voicemail. Leave us your thoughts. Leave us your comments. Anything. Nothing's off limits here. And if you're part of the giveaway, just make sure you give us your name and email address.
Yes. If you are a fan of this podcast, you've enjoyed it for 100 episodes and you want a couple more at least, please find us on Apple Podcast, follow us, and please rate us a nice 5-star review. It really helps us grow and stick around. You can also find us on Instagram. We're very active there at Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. You can reach out to us on Facebook, facebook.com/remakesrebootsrevivals. Shoot us an email, remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. And lastly, we are also on Twitter at remakespodcast.
Yep. And you can also listen to all our episodes at www.remakesrebootsrevivals.com. So you heard us talk about a lot of old episodes. There's your chance to listen to some of those older ones.
Yeah, they're worth it. Trust me. Check them out.
Yeah. And I guess that's it. Wow. 100 episodes. Exciting. What does the next 100 hold?
Yeah. Hopefully we'll be snippeting this in another 100 episodes from now.
So. Hopefully.
But until then, stay unoriginal.